Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
How are you guys doing today? What's up?
Doing yeah.
Doing good? Well, that's just really intense.
Yeah, talk to us.
I mean, you know, every time when you come home, you sit around the dinner table and you tell everything to Tracy about your entire day.
That's right.
You need to talk to us the way you talk to her. You know what I'm saying?
Let us know. Fill us
in. Details. We want to know details.
Yeah, what's going on with you? I mean, I was like treating
you. I'm sure, right? That's right. Okay, we're back. Just got a text from Tracy. Nope. That's about what it says.
No.
That's about it.
And we give a big shout out to our Christian Television Network audience and our VFN radio audience around the nation and the world. A big shout out to the Gulf Coast. As you can see, we are on 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time in the Gulf Coast region, and also on the radio 24/7. If you want to find out more details about that, you can go to VFNTV.com. Man, we just got the breaking news in a previous program about Miriam Ibrahim, and she got rearrested again. I want to encourage you. We're going to be talking about in this program today about the persecuted church. We have to just... Yeah, we have to understand that it's there's something in us. We've lost our ability to empathize.
Mm. Yeah.
And you think about if anything that God is known by is that he empathized with us by giving us his son to die for us. His son, Jesus, chose to feel what it feels like to be us. And he walked like we walk in our bodies with all these issues that we have. But he did it perfectly. He felt the pressures. He was tempted in every way, just like we're tempted, but yet without sin. And he says, we don't have a high priest who's unable to empathize with us. So God understands us now through his son. I mean, he knew the answer. It's just the question, really, what do you have issues with? It's like, oh, we're in a sinful body.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, but if we are not empathizing with our neighbors, empathizing I'm shocked all the time, I guess. But people really don't care. They really don't care that somebody in their community just no justice was served in their life. And you know, just it was amazing to me.
The Bible says the love of many grow cold, but I mean, you see no empathy for anything. People lose their income, they're sick in their bodies, people are homeless, travesty happens, and they just continue to go along their day without even thinking.
Right.
Wow, this is a fellow human being, and they'll begin to start judging them for their lifestyle as opposed to recognizing them first. That this is a human being. No person should be suffering like this, no matter what decisions they've made, but we can help them on their journey way back. But we definitely need that desperately.
That's a Christian perspective. That's a Christ. When you say Christian, that's Christ followers, what that means, Christian. That's a Christ follower perspective. And what I do, I know when I'm in trouble is when I stop feeling and I'm not feeling there. So I know that, hey, you know, that's a dangerous place. Don't ever hang around too long in the area because you could be, you know, you could have been persecuted. You could have been betrayed. You could just be fatigued or whatever, but that's not when you find yourself not feeling, not connecting with people in your heart, you're in a dangerous place. If you keep going, all you have is religion. You need to stop. I think about Mike Bickle when he was traveling around. He's the founder of IHOP, Kansas City, International House of Prayer. And things would go in your natural eye. You said things were going good. He was traveling around the world doing all these different crusades and conferences. And people were coming out and everybody was happy. He committed for a long haul with these conferences, but then he started realizing, wait a minute, I'm not feeling nothing. Mm. I'm not feeling anything. And he's like, you know, I don't care how all this is, I just want to feel something. I want to feel something. And he went and got released from that commitment. They released him. He went back and he's like, I'm going to stay with God. I want to stay in that place of sensing and feeling God. But right now, I'm in society when people can walk down the streets and just looking for somebody on video, while they're videoing it, to punch out an old man walking down the street just to see, just to video it. And it's like, that's a dangerous society that has grown hard in their hearts. When people know, when they know by their demands is putting you out of your house and your home, and they don't even look.
Yeah.
They don't even blink at it. they say, that's a hard heart. That's somebody that doesn't empathize. And so I want to encourage you today that we can step out of that and say, God, you know, soften my heart, melt my hard heart. You know, ask God to begin to say, I don't want to be like that. I want to feel again. And probably most of all, you've been hurt. You know, whatever. I mean, you can hurt in 10,000 different ways. We're all hurt, but everybody doesn't get over it. Everybody doesn't carry it to the cross. Everybody doesn't understand that as Christians, we're called to suffer for doing what's right and be told that we're wrong. And we're not even looking towards, you know, recognition in the context of that. We just want to stay faithful in the context. We don't know, did you love is the big question that's going to be asked.
Well, the biggest enemy of love and empathy, too, is self.
Yes.
If you have yourself constantly on your mind and what's best for you and what's best for your flesh and what's best for your life and your family, how can you have any empathy for anybody else? Because you have to factor into the equation, how does this affect me?
Right,
you
know? Right.
And it's not supposed to be about us. It's supposed to be about others.
And that truly is the sign of the last days, which is men will be lovers of themselves,
PlayStation.
PlayStation, Xbox, cable, you know, mobile devices, you know, images made to look like mortal man. But men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God.
Yeah.
And it's like, we have to stay focused because there's this intensity right now that wants to make you hard-hearted. It wants to make you a hard nose, a stiff neck. It wants to make you go the wrong way in the context of this. And that's why you hear me focusing quite often on Dr. King. Because Dr. King and Daddy King, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and Daddy King, his father, that they understood. Here they are, Americans and Christians. And so that this is somebody we can look to as an American Christian. You know, how can we stay with under God's law and under man's law and operate in the context of that? We can do it by loving, by experiencing, you know, injustices coming our way or even violence coming our way. And we don't, not only do we not retaliate, but we still love that person. We still have the ability to love that person. I mean, it's easy to, you know, okay, I hate that one. Right. I hate this one, you know, but we're not called to do that. We're called to love. And, you know, when I first started my journey, I thought, man, this is easy. And then I'm like, I don't think I'll be able to make this one. And I used to say, get over it until I got under it. And then I realized, hey, it takes the grace of God to be able to walk like Pat's walking. Yeah. But Evita King, and I know we're going to be talking about, you know, Francis Chan just a moment, but Evita King wrote a book called King's Rule. I don't know if you can see this up here on the cameras. Let me see it on the cameras. King Rules, and to be able to walk with Dr. King and this Christian man who I believe was an apostle, to be able to walk with him and be a part of what he's doing, you had to agree to these 10 rules, which are godly rules. They're just, you know, godly rules. Well, Evita King, which is his niece, and she writes about the whole family here and talks about 10 rules. And they're beautiful rules that help us get a Christian perspective. And the 8th rule talks about what we're talking about. The 8th rule, she talks about, you know, she was Uncle ML. That was what she was called. Martin Luther King Jr. was Uncle ML. And we said that he came into his house. And this is her mother at Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s home. And so she didn't think that he knew that she was there, but she was kind of there sitting in the couch. And he comes in from outside. And he leans his hand over on the mantle of the fireplace, she writes about in this book. And he's loosening his tie and he's loosening his shirt collar. And he said, they choked me by my tie and they almost killed me.
Yeah.
But he looked over and he said, but I'm going to respond by loving them back. Hmm. I mean, those ties, when I was in law enforcement, we did not wear the ties around your neck because it was like you're going to lose in the fight, right? So we had clip-on ties that we clip on. So somebody said, this comes off. Like, yeah. this is a tie that you tie around your neck, and they pulled his, according to what Evita's talking about, what her mother told her. And we even have that story. We have her mother telling that story actually on the VFN Torch. You can actually see her sitting with her mother sharing that. And that's why I talk so much about Dr. King because Dr. King was an American Christian. I mean, he was loyal to the laws. He just said, listen, we just want to hold America to what's written on the paper. But he also stayed faithful to God, even to the point where, you know, making sure that we focus on the poor and that we focus on the needy. But he loved, and of all the messages, reportedly from what I understand, the first message that his father, Daddy King, preached in the church in Atlanta after his son was murdered was he preached on love, forgiveness. And I'm thinking, my goodness, how could that not be a family that we need to take recognition of in our country? Every country has its people, but when you look at a family like that, it's gone through so much turmoil. Avita King talks about, you know, we've had her house had a bomb explode at it.
Wow.
And her dad looks at her and says, we're going to choose to love. He told all the crowds coming at their house, you know, that there's nothing going to happen here. We're going to still do what's right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that is just amazing. That's wow. Like, that's walking like Jesus walked.
All right.
And I think, you know, in the context of this is being able to, think about empathizing. We talked about it in an earlier program. We have to really, you know, stay astute with what God is calling us to do and all these things that are taking place. And there's also an article and a segment in the VFN Torch called Don't Swing. Because everything that was done to Dr. King and the African-American man and woman at one time in America was trying to get them to respond physically. Mm-hmm. And everybody, Avita writes in her book, Dr. Avita King, she says, when you look back at everybody that responded violently and thought they were just going to make it happen and through force, none of those worked out. None of those worked out. And it was used against them. Mm. It was used against them. But when you walk in love, that was the only, I mean, and I forget the word right now. It's coming to my mind, but nonviolent does not mean passive. It just means you're not going to retaliate. Mm-hmm. For things done to you. It's the most strongest place you could be at is to love your enemy. And what we have going for us in America, that this is not Iraq. This is not Iran. This is not, you know, Syria. Mm-hmm. This is actually a land that has a constitution that's founding principles as one nation under God. What Dr. Martin Luther King was saying over and over again in his speeches, that go back to the original intent of this nation. Go back to the papers. Look what it says is we're all created equal. He wasn't trying to change the Constitution. He was confronting us, and I believe God was confronting America through him as an apostle, saying, you missed this. You missed it huge. Mm-hmm. Because I created all men equal, and every one of them, I give them their rights. You don't give them their rights. Their rights come from God. Mm-hmm. And that's what he was saying. But he loved all the way through that. And I want to encourage you today to begin to think about, you know what? I've got love of myself down. I spend all my money on me. I even borrow money on top of that to get me some more stuff. Hmm. And I say I don't have even enough to even give God his tithe or offerings. I call everybody, you know, lazy who asks for money. And the truth is they might not have money and might need help.
That's right.
And it's like, Lord, help me change my selfishness and my self-love. Help me to be a lover of God, to love you, to love others and lead others to do the same. We get back. We're going to be talking about Francis Chan, going to prison, looking for pastors. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at vfntv.com. We'll be right back.
With Focus on the Family Minute, I'm John Fuller. She was alone, living in an orphanage under rather cruel conditions and desperate to know that somebody cared.
And when I'd go to bed at night, you know that when nobody touches you, nobody hugs you, you want to be hugged. I don't care what people say when they say, don't touch me. Yeah, they want to be hugged. And at night, when I knew nobody was looking, and after the lights were out, and after I'd get the whipping, I'd put my arms around myself, and I'd rock myself to sleep, and I'd cry and I'd cry. And as those tears mingled down and soaked into the sheets and into the pillow, I was crying out, oh, if somebody would just love me.
As a child, Dory just wanted to be loved. And today, there are 168 million children around the world with that same heart cry. Now, maybe you can't adopt a child right now, but there are many ways to get involved in the orphan care movement. Learn how at iCareAboutOrphans.org.
Well, you know, I do want to say this morning to encourage you that VFN TV 3.0 app has arrived. We have all the new arrangements and conditions, and you already like it. It's got the, when you turn on your or open your VFN TV 3.0 app, you're going to have the recent broadcast will come right up. Anything that's happened on VFN TV, VFN Radio recently, right then. So you don't have to look for anything. I mean, what just happened will be right there in front of you. And then at the top, you have recent in the menu, but you also have series. Mm-hmm. And series, you just touch it, and it carries you over to the different series, like the highlights, which also Original Intent and Wisdom Moments and
Prophetic Words.
Prophetic Words, and those are series that it has right there. And then you have alphabetized next to it, which helps you if you're just looking for something. Hey, I remember that thing about the prodigal, and you could just choose alphabetize. But then at the bottom, you can just choose live. Like a lot of you listen right now live, and that's available for you. You got to check it out. You know, if you haven't yet downloaded the VFN TV app or seen your upgrade yet, go to your iTunes store, go to your Google Play store, and type in VFN TV. It's VVictor FN TV, and you download the VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program app, and it's free. It's there for you to be able to encourage you. You're going to need an encouraging voice. You're going to need words of wisdom. And we need to build our relationship now so we're understanding each other and we can trust each other and realize that we're in this for the right reason, capital R, Jesus Christ, and for the advancement of the king as his kingdom and the safety of his people. Do you know there's over 25 million children living in fatherless homes in America? The father's absence and the degrading of the father's role is just all around us. You know why? Because the enemy wants to destroy our perception of what a father is. But I got news for you. The reason why the all-outright attack is on the natural father, because Father God loves you and has got a plan for your life, and he's trying to break down the give you a life of no grid to be able to find what a father is. Let me tell you something. Father God loves you and has a plan for your life. As a matter of fact, he made a roadmap. He made a way to him, a bridge to him. He loves you so much, and he wants you so much in his family. He wants to be your father that he gave his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you can go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, where you can meet Father God through his son, Jesus Christ. We share a couple of our stories to kind of give you a grid that we're all the same. But you know what? God loves you and has a plan for your life. Find him, meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Which, by the way, if you haven't gone to the VFN Torch lead, you need to go to vfntv.com. And in the menu, it says VFN Torch. There's all types of aspects to be able to just quick information at a moment's notice. Any topic that you can imagine probably is in there. And a biblical perspective, you know, what's actually happening. But what does the Word of God say about this? Including prophetic words of knowledge and wisdom that has been shared. So if you get a chance, go to vfntv.com and click on the VFN Torch in the menu there.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Almond milk. I mean, think about this.
Really?
You know, that, you know, you drink milk for years, right? Mm-hmm. You drink milk for years. Yeah, but you go buy a gallon of it back when it was cheap. Now it's like, it's expensive.
That's like much as gas.
No, it's more than gas,
actually.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? It's like $4 and something a gallon or something. I don't know.
Crazy, yeah.
But all of a sudden, I found out that there's actually a better product that you can drink that doesn't have as high calories, a lot of fat in milk and all that. Mm-hmm. It's good when you're a kid and you're drinking all that and getting, you know, you need that as mm-hmm. as a kid. Obviously our brains quit growing. So you know, mm-hmm. it's supposed to be good for brain growth and stuff. But then I found out about almond milk. I mean, think about this. I mean, almond milk, and I was just blown away. Like, oh, what's this going to taste like? You know? And so I tasted it and I thought, that's pretty good. Mm-hmm. But I was just trying to figure out, how do you get milk out of an almond?
You can drink a glass of almond milk?
Yes, I could drink a glass of almond milk. Mm-hmm. Yes. But I was more curious, like, how do you milk an almond? I'm just thinking, like, if you can milk a cow, I know how you can milk a cow, but why do they call it almond milk?
Yeah, Pat, tell them.
Is there some sort of, like, almond cow somewhere?
Make it. I don't know.
And they, like, almonds come out, and then they just, how does an almond turn into milk?
Don't have an answer for you on that.
Well, they're not our sponsors, but I do say this.
I guess they put it in a blender and chop it up.
I don't know, man. I've had, you know, we've had our share of almonds, right?
Oh, yeah.
But it doesn't taste like almond milk.
No.
Every now and then it does have like a wood quality to it.
Especially as it's been sitting around a while.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. But I just trying to figure out, how do you get milk from an almond? They probably should just call it almond juice or something like that. But we wouldn't put it on our cereal then.
Probably not.
Anyway, getting back to the more important topics.
Yeah.
So Francis Chan's going to jail.
Yes, he is.
Talk to us about that. To be able Francis to find Chan. Ministers or something.
Yes, we're always encouraged by Francis Chan and just what he has to share. And he was interviewed. He was invited by Prison Fellowship, which is a ministry of Chuck Colson, to go speak to prisoners.
He's passed now.
Has he passed?
Oh, yes.
Wow. Wow, this ministry's been on for a long time. I didn't realize he passed. Well, he went on Easter, and he says, you know, part of his journey was that, hey, I went to all these people thinking I can reach celebrities and influence and to see, you know, obviously if I win a celebrity to the Lord, they're going to have major impact. And he's like, no, this is not working out. And so he says, you know what? I realized in reading the scriptures as I delved deeper into the Word of God that everyone that Jesus used was just everyday people. And then he went to the people that no one wanted to choose. No one wanted to select or be on their short list, if you will,
right,
for a great position. And he realized that, hey, I need to do what Jesus has done, and he wanted to minister to the prisoners, and he has found that.
Well, we might not have to even watch him talk about it. I think you just totally covered everything. That's
well, no,
video.
Not yet. No, okay. No. you'll hear more. Yeah. You'll hear more.
All right, all right.
But we could actually watch him, and he says that they're going to be the next pastors, next leaders.
Yes.
Watch now.
My name is Francis Chan, and we're here in Chowchilla at Valley State Prison for Men. My interest in prison ministry started, I think, when I started to study the Word a little bit more deeply and understood the types of people that God typically chooses. They're not the people the world would typically choose to do great things. And so rather than, I remember in my early years, I would pursue the rich, pursue the famous people, you know, thinking, wow, if we got them, then they would just draw so many people to themselves. But then as I studied the scriptures, I saw that that's not typically who God chooses. In fact, he would choose the people that no one else would. And I began going to the poor, began going overseas. And that's where my desire for prison ministry started, thinking, you know, I bet you that's where the leaders are going to come from. I've heard of Prison Fellowship for years and a big fan of Chuck Colson, and spoken at different conferences with Chuck, and then I was invited to come out here for Easter, and I thought, gosh, what better way to spend my Easter weekend than going and just sharing the good news with some of these people who may end up being the future leaders of the Christian movement in America. It's so good for me personally because of the crowds I typically speak to, it gets you back to the focus of what is this all about. And, you know, in our world, we're so used to putting one person as more important than another, or being more gifted and having more potential, or and it's just this reminder of who did Christ go to. He came and he said, I'm going to preach good news to the poor. It's just come to me. Those of you guys that are just burdened, heavy laden, he went to those who the world typically rejected, and so it's just a reminder of, wow, Jesus went to them. And I've met guys in prison who say, man, I met Jesus here, and I would rather be locked in this cell for the rest of my life knowing Jesus than being out there, because out there I didn't know him. I was blind, and they've come to life here, and to think, wow, that type of resurrection power could happen today, and to say, gosh, I could sacrifice a few hours of my life to get to experience that moving of God, of course it's worth it. These guys just need a little bit of help, just a little bit of someone coming alongside. And I keep thinking, man, if the church would catch this vision and quit getting so scared and start living by faith, man, they just need someone to come along their side and give them an opportunity, because they've done their time, not only done their time, but a lot of them have done some serious training while they're in prison. And I really believe that if we would just give some of these guys an opportunity, they're going to be amazing pastors and leaders.
Amazing. Wow. Totally amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. It's incredible, you know, because oftentimes people want to look for the wrong people. You know, people that are not listening to the message or not listening to the truth. And Francis reminds us that
always,
you know, hey, listen, let's go back to what Jesus did, you right. know. Share with those who are going to respond.
Right, right. And the thing about it, you know, who does God choose? We should know that.
Yes. I mean,
Paul said the reason why he chose me, talking about himself, is because I am the worst of all sinners. I mean, he even called himself the chief of sinners.
Mm-hmm.
And he did that to demonstrate, he said, how merciful God is.
Yeah.
And so that we should boast in our weaknesses and look for others that says those are the ones, people who know they need help are the ones who know they need God.
Yeah.
But the people who are poor, naked, and blind and don't know it, saying they don't have any of anything. I mean, think about that.
Yeah.
And it's like changing your honesty. And I watched, you know, Francis from afar. And I mean, you got to be diligent with the name Francis. And he wrote a book, Crazy Love.
That's
if
right.
you haven't yet read Crazy Love, get ready. You need to read it. It's a must read because it's from an American standpoint, us being in America thinking, you know, we got to love God like we're supposed to love God like he loves us. And we can never outlove God. We can never do as much as he did for us. And we're not trying to earn anything, but we're going to answer for wasted time. We're going to answer for just loving ourselves and not even loving our neighbors. And it's this intensity, but yeah. And go into the prisons, you know, it's called the correction system.
Hmm.
I mean, it's called the correction system. How many people wouldn't have given Joseph a job because he went to prison? Didn't do it. He was falsely accused, but it doesn't matter. Once you walk through the doors, this mindset comes over folks and it says, you know, that I can't trust you. It's like, hey, you know, I just did 5 years getting up, making my bed, you know, listening to the guards, staying under authority, got all this good record. Got my education. I got, you know, more intelligent while I was there. I'm probably going to be your best employee and I'll be grateful.
Yeah.
I'll be grateful for the job. And, but think about in ministry. I mean,
it's one of the greatest opportunities to be out there doing what Jesus would want us to do. You look at large, if someone's in prison ministry or, you know, it's like, well, they're a preacher in training or something. You know, it's like, wait a minute. Everybody should be involved in prison ministry. Matthew 25, Jesus tells us, when I was hungry, when I was naked, when I didn't have any clothes, and when I was in prison, if you didn't visit me, you didn't give me something to drink, something to eat, you didn't visit them, you didn't visit me. Whatever you've done to the least of these brothers of mine, you've done unto me. But the same thing, if you haven't done it, then you haven't done it to me. And so it's like, he says a pretty awesome thing. What if we just turned our focus? What if that was the biggest part of the budget or a good size of the budget? What if that was our biggest focus or a good size of the focus, that we went into the highways, the byways, the prisons, those that were totally looked past by most people, and start investing in them and rescuing them? Now, oftentimes I find that sometimes the people that are at their lowest points, those are the ones that really want to hear. Those are the ones that are open to listen to what you have to say.
Right. We're going to talk more about this because the reason why this prison ministry exists is because its founder was a prisoner from Washington, D.C. He went to jail during Watergate. We'll talk more about Charles Colson when we come back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Jesus himself said this. He said, the verdict is in. Bam.
I mean, you know, remember the jury comes in and the judge order in the court, they open the little piece of paper where your whole life can just like, what? And it opens it up and the verdict is in, and Jesus says, some people just love the prince of darkness. They just love darkness. They love the deeds you could do in darkness. There's some folks that just love Lucifer's stuff. You just dust your feet and you move on. This is the relationship. You can't, if you try to force somebody to have a relationship with God, you don't even have a concept of Him. And secondly, you might not even know Him. Besides, forced relationship by our own laws is called rape. You have to want to be with God. It's a choice. Which is so cool because God wants to be with you.
Taking VFN Radio and VFN TV anywhere you want to go, Wi-Fi or no-fi. Why? Because of the podcast. We have podcasting available for you right now. What happens with podcasts? You go to VFNTV.com, click on the podcast, choose the source of podcast that you want to receive it in based on your particular device, computer or mobile device, and realize it just automatically will do what you set it up to do. It will download it while you're having lunch. It'll download it while you're at work. And then when you're driving anywhere in the world, flying anywhere in the world, even when you're on an airline, they say turn off all these mobile phones. You still can actually listen to what's already on your playlist, which would be downloaded programs and highlights from VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast today.
If you're tired of religion, think about this. If you're tired of all these mechanisms and supporting these ziggurats and all these things going on, if you're ready to get into the kingdom, you know, find someone who's hearing from God. Find a gathering that's hearing from God. Find an apostolic center. Find one of those hubs. Maybe the VFN Dream Center's for you. You know, we're located on the Gulf Coast in Pensacola, Florida, a very significant things that have happened since God told us to establish it here. But they're all around the place. North Carolina, you have Morning Star, you have Church of His Presence in Alabama with Pastor John Kilpatrick. Mm-hmm. You have IHOP Kansas City with Mike Bickle. You have Chuck Pierce, Zion Ministries in Corinth, Texas. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He got the good one. He got Texas, man. And so it's amazing what God is doing this all over the place. But you want to get into that place.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Yeah, we're just talking, and you just heard earlier, saw Francis Chan sharing his testimony why he's in the prisons, and he's real great at asking questions. You know, I just ask myself, you know, would Jesus be in the prisons, you know? That's my accent, that's the best I can do. And
he's getting better on his accent. Is getting better.
Very
he
good.
Is.
A slight very variation.
Good. Very good. I was talking to this particular man. I was talking to this man, very nice man, and I had to pick up some things from him. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't understand a word he said. And I know that we talk Southern. We have a Southern accent. I know we do. But I'm thinking, countryman, I need to hear this countryman. I'm thinking like, I want to hear what you're saying, but I just, countryman, help me out here, you know, because I had to get with him to get the stuff. And I'm thinking, where do you live, countryman? You know, it was so.
I'm your neighbor.
And I didn't want to ask him, you know, for the fifth time. And I'm like, you know, get a number, something.
Get his address. Yeah, like, GPS it.
I can't even, I don't even know if his mouth was even opening when he was talking, but I didn't want to insult him. But I did find it. It was down by the oak tree. It was down by the tree. Well, you know, Chuck Carlson, who founded this ministry in prisons, that it's called Prison Fellowship, that that Francis Chan's talking about. Mm-hmm. Understand, when you hear this, it's going to really, you're going to go, oh my goodness. Francis now was led to go to the prisons to find, this is where Jesus would go. Mm-hmm. You're going to the needy folks. You're going to people who understand. I tried this on my own and I blew it, or I'm falsely accused and I'm here. And how did this ministry start then? What was the seed for this whole ministry? Well, this is the seed for the ministry.
Chuck Colson, the founder of Prison Fellowship, Prison Fellowship, he was a prisoner. He was part of the Richard Nixon administration, and they had the big Watergate scandal, which is kind of like, I don't know, just pales in comparison to today's right. scandals. It's like, it's almost like, we're sorry, Richard. You know, you know, but anyway, so that they had this big thing on Watergate where they recorded, they went into somebody's office and took out some tapes, and now they just do it digitally through. Isn't this amazing? Anyway, so back on, and so he goes to jail for this. He and a couple other guys goes to jail for this. And so he's in jail. This man, this big authority figure in the presidential government of the largest, most powerful nation in the world. So he's been on the top, you know, he's been there walking in the White House, walking, which says too that people in the White House can go to jail too. And then it just ends instantly. All of a sudden he ends up, the Watergate trials, if you remember that, it went on forever. And he ends up going to jail. But what looked like a tragedy. I mean, what were you saying about Rick Joyner when he talks about it?
Rick Joyner talks about that oftentimes when people face a failure, they can get stuck in the failure and not move past the failure. They just get stuck there and allow the enemy basically to you know, condemn them. But he says that when you go through a failure, when you go through...
Through is the key word.
Yeah, you got to go through. When you go through, there's an anointing on your life there, not only to help you, but also to help others who have failed. And he says, you got to go through it. You got to go through it. Don't get stuck there. Go through it.
So you're saying that the reason why we're here now on VFN TV, the radio programs, because we felt so much that God's given us anointing to do this.
No doubt.
Isn't that amazing?
Amazing.
One big failure.
Exactly.
Wow. I need therapy. So this whole ministry, then, that it's almost like Francis Chan is going back in to find the next Chuck Colson.
Yeah.
You know, Chuck Colson, he passed away, I think, of last year, April of last year, or April 2012, and a couple of years ago. And, but here he is. Now Francis is going back in to find the next Chuck Colson.
That's awesome.
How many times do we just say, like you were talking about earlier, just, you know, they're not on our short list, or they're not, you know, the first thing on our mind. It's like, and think about this. This is what America has, I've seen happen. And my observation is America had that experience. They went to folks who said no. And instead of changing their audience, they changed their message. Mm. They're thinking, it must be saying something wrong. Maybe God didn't really mean that. And then they keep adjusting it the way you would a carburetor on a car, the way you would a musical note on a song. Till finally people said, I like that. I can do that. I could do that. That's pretty good. You're going to give me child care. You're gonna do all this therapy for me. And you're going to songs and music. I love music. Put a concert on. And the thing is, it's like, but did we leave? We should have just left that audience and switched to a different audience. And Francis, I'm watching the man. He's changing his audience. He's trying to find someone who says yes, wholeheartedly, and says, I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. It's reported that he even found came across a man that was homeless and didn't have a job, family, and he helped them out with, you know, getting a place and some work. And before you know it, raised them up. And years later, he winds up pastoring part of the work that Francis Chan started in San Francisco.
Right.
Wow. But we can see it right from the beginning, you know. We just have to have a vision for it. And that's what we're talking about today, having a vision for others, not who everyone would typically think you would expect to choose, but those who Jesus would administer to.
And I just want to talk to you right now. You may be sitting right there in a jail and you're watching us right now and you're thinking, how did I get here? And you're caught on the self-focus thinking it's over, it's ended. Understand this. This could be the moment that your life changes forever. Maybe you're not in a physical prison. Maybe you're in a financial prison. Maybe you're in a relationship prison. Maybe you're in some job prison, whatever. But you're thinking it's all over. Like, this is the point. This can be a turning point for you. This could be the Chuck Colson moment where you think, wait a minute, I'm created for a purpose. I'm created for a reason. I mean, think about it. You can actually, what's inside of you? What was in Chuck, he thought it was politics. He thought what was inside of him was being an assistant to the president and doing these different things. But what was truly inside of him was Francis Chan down the road, ministering in a prison. All the people that have been touched through his ministry, setting a standard, by the way, a standard for us to be able to have prison ministry and doing it in the right way. So everybody eventually gets out. Very few people get a life sentence. But that's the goal, getting out. Because it's the correction institution. It's not a, you know, I'm going to treat you terrible institution. It's a correction. It's supposed to correct behavior to be able to come back out. That's justice. Justice is helping things get back in their order again. Tyrannical leadership is just abusing you and neglecting you and treating you terrible because they don't like you. The big difference, that's what's so unique about America and the jury system, which is part of the Constitution. But you think about it, there's like, if you've been talking to all these folks and you're frustrated and you're debating, you say, well, I'm just going to quit talking to people about God. I'm going to quit bringing them up. Nobody wants to hear. It's like, have you ever thought about, like I told Steve way back when, crossing the street? Do you ever think about changing jobs or somebody that's more conducive to the gospel? Did you ever think about just throwing your life into the sacrifice of, here I am, God, I'm your bondservant. You know, if you want to be like the Moravians, for example, I mean, you have these Moravian missionaries that had been part of a prayer movement for over 100 years. And obviously they weren't, but they were part of it. And they sold themselves into slavery because this one particular island, this place that you could not get there unless you were a slave. Mm-hmm. And so they sold themselves into slavery, said goodbye to their families, waved goodbye to their families on the pier and all that kind of stuff as the boat's pulling off, in hopes that they might tell the slaves about Jesus Christ, that they could be saved. And it's like, I look at heroes like that, and I look at those that laid in their life like Chuck Colson. I look at, you're looking, I mean, pay attention to Francis while he's here so you can tell your kids and your grandkids that you knew of Francis. Mm-hmm. I mean, this man truly has a connection. He understands, he's willing to sacrifice. He's willing to do what it takes. And he started the Multiply Movement. The Multiply Movement is about making disciples of Jesus Christ. We're called to make disciples. We're not called to hire somebody to teach somebody about God. We're all called to be able to make disciples. So I want to encourage you, if that's you, if you're sitting in that cell physically, if you're sitting in that financial cell, the relational cell, you could be at this moment in time where you could say, you know what, instead of thinking my life is over, maybe even thinking about ending your life. And this is exactly what I told one young man. He's about 16 years old. He was sitting, we both were sitting in his house. He got this huge fight with his father. He was like 18 years old, 17 years old, something like that, probably 17. And he said, I'm going to end my life. I'm just going to end my life. I'm just going to end it. It's totally over. He could not see past his present surroundings that he had all this life to live and everything. So he was sitting on one end of his bed, and I sat down on the end of the bed in uniform there. And I said, why don't you do this? Why don't you just act like you did it, but don't do it? And everything, how you were living your life and every decision and all that kind of stuff, act like you killed that. And now you're a new person and you start living in a new way. You make new decisions in your life. You're no longer, the old man is dead and the new man is alive. That's what happens when you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. You're literally killing the old man. It's being nailed to the cross. You can't, it's not, don't let the enemy confuse you thinking you're supposed to take your life. You're supposed to give your life to God, and then that old man just dies away, and then you become new. And this whole thing, he could not see past his present circumstances. But when he could see beyond that, so you know what? I don't have to own, I could just kill all this stuff, all these decisions, all these bad things, the way I was dealing with my father, all this different stuff. I could just, you know, just let that end and begin a new life. He just lit up. His whole life changed in an instant. Wow. And maybe that can be you. There's so many people that want to hear. If you've been talking to people that don't want to hear, you know, people that say they have no need of nothing, but John writes down in the book of Revelation, he says that, but yet they're poor, naked, and blind. You could yell at those folks all you want to and tell them that they're poor, naked, and blind, but if they don't see it, they don't see it. Change your audience, even if it means go into the local prison, go till you find somebody who says yes to God. Mm-hmm. Because the greatest satisfaction as a believer who loves God like Francis Chan's loving God here, and for you, is to be able to tell people about the goodness of God and the salvation through his son, Jesus Christ, and watch them say yes to him, and watch that old man die and that new man come alive, and they're no longer who they used to be anymore because God's made them a new man. There's nothing like this, but you got to actually go to the people. You got to break loose from the sheetrock and the stucco and the, you got to go into the highways and the byways. You got to tell them. As a matter of fact, we're commanded to tell them. There is a great expectation that Jesus Christ has of us. Mm-hmm. And you got to hear that. You can probably hear it attached to this particular segment on the VFN TV, VFN Torch. But understand that God has an expectation of us, and that expectation is us to do is to do what Francis Chan is doing. And if you are the chiefest of sinners, you're probably the most qualified. If you carry that to the cross, and you lay down your life, and you let the old man die, and the new man come alive, and get up under a covering that could begin to disciple you and train you up and teach you the ways of God, and you could be just like Francis Chan, just like Chuck Colson, just like John Ramos. I mean, think about it. I mean, he haven't served any time, but the truth is, only 40% of crimes reported, right? That's what they say. 60. That's 40.
That's it.
It's the mercies of God. So we thank God for Francis Chan. Follow him in the Multiply Movement of Francis Chan. You can find out more about him at vfntv.com on The Torch. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at vfntv.com. We'll be right back.
And we want to encourage you today. Listen, the Lord is a faithful Father. He is hope and love himself. He's compassionate. He's gracious. He's full of mercy. Mm-hmm. And although he is sharing with us and letting us know that, listen, judgment is upon us, if we repent, if we cry out to him, if we seek him and humble our ways and acknowledge, Lord, we have sinned before you, things can turn. Mm-hmm. Things can turn. Things don't have to happen. And that is our desire, and that is our hope.
Right, and that's why it's so important to partner with us, so we can continue to be that trumpet, that clear and calm.
Absolutely, absolutely. Partner. We have all different ways how you can do that just by going to VFNTV.com. We have worked very hard to try to put things together in a way that you can easily find it. There's ways for you to partner as a sponsor. There's ways for you to partner as an underwriter. Just go to VFNTV.com and you'll see the torch on the right hand in the center of the page, and you'll be able to follow. It has some hands around the torch. Mm-hmm. That's your hands. That's our hands. That's all of us holding the torch together so that we can continue to keep the light in this dark world, and so that others can come and be informed and grow in the things of God. Listen, we can do this when we have our eyes focused on Jesus and on him alone, and when we have our ears attentive to his very word. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you what, it is great. It is great to be in the Emerald Coast. My goodness, I didn't know how beautiful this sun is out here, Chris. Yeah. I mean, have you been enjoying this all this time? Oh, my goodness, Pat.
Yeah, I love it. I got a chance to soak in a little bit the other day.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I got to see that bronze look on you. I don't know about that.
Now, you got some bronze going on over there.
I'm looking at you here, brother. I'm happy to report that I don't see any Saints shirts. I don't see nothing this morning. And I want to just give a hallelujah for that, okay? I just want to let you know. But you got the tan working for you. I'm telling you, it's nothing like beautiful blue skies, mm-hmm. palm trees. I'm just like, oh, my goodness. This is beautiful. I am enjoying it. I'm enjoying being in the Emerald Coast. You know, I knew that I was getting near to Pat's home. I'm coming in 11 o'clock at night, and I knew I was getting close when couldn't see nothing. Now it was pitch black. couldn't see nothing. But I was getting this whiff, this aroma that was coming from the plane.
Hold on now. Clarify that.
That paper mill, I don't know what's going on, man, but I knew I was dead on the spot. I mean, X marks the spot.
Dude, you didn't know that was the glory of God.
That's the glory.
That's the glory, man. That's the glory cloud.
Don't put that smell on the glory, all right? Don't put that smell on the glory. But my goodness, it is so, so, so good.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Welcome back. I want to encourage you to live your life with no regrets in regards to God, because we're all going to face the Lord. We're going to say, you know, he's going to say, what did you do with what I gave you, what I entrusted to you? And you can actually, on your own, despite everybody else, you can say, you know what? I'm going to live my life with no regrets when it comes to God. I'm just going to do it. And the thing about the difficult thing when you do that, a lot of people don't understand they're going to have regrets. So there's a little conflict sometimes with people who are going to have a lot of regrets. So somebody says, I don't want to have regrets. I want to use this life for God, this moment, this vapor in time. And everybody says, you know, in the end of their life, no matter what they say two things, two simple things. They say, go call the pastor. What's his name again? Uh-huh. So they say, right. What's his name? You know, because I want him to pray for me, right? Because the last moment you get that prayer in. And then they say, I wish I would have done more for my family because I'm about to leave them. And the next regret they have, they say, I wish I would have done more for God because I'm about to see him. Mm-hmm. Think about it. You're about to see God. And the truth is, it might not happen in old age. It could happen today. Are you going to make a choice to say, you know, I want to live my life with no regrets. I want to be able to say, I want to eliminate tomorrow's regrets today by saying, you know what? I'm going to redefine family again and quit making it narcissistic about my biological connectivity and say, the family of God. I want to do for the family of God. God says, he's not unjust. He will not forget the love you have shown him as you help his people and continue to help them. This is how we love God. We love each other. And then we stand before God. You know, I poured it all out. There's nothing left. I mean, you know, I worked that one brain cell to death. You know, but we took to, anyway. Just but you, whatever it is,
yeah.
Just lay it all out for God. So when you know, when you meet the Lord, I mean, obviously, we're, you know, that is probably stuff we didn't even think about, but whatever we knew to do, we did
right.
Unto God. And it's like, you know, that's a precious gift. That's like once in a lifetime, eternal lifetime to be able to have, to be able to give. And I could imagine showing up at the throne room of God. I mean, thank God the Lord gave me more life that I was able to start living life without yes. regret. But you could show up and it's like, yeah, you know, I watched cable. I robbed you. I couldn't tithe. But I did say a prayer. And are we in? I mean, right. What are you going to say, right? Right,
exactly.
What are you going to say at a moment like that? I encourage you to get involved with what God is doing today. Maybe the VFN Dream Center is for you. Join in someone who takes walking with God eternally serious. What's happening over in Poland?
Poland, the Prime Minister, Donald Tusk, is telling the doctors that they must put the law over their faith and to perform abortions despite their Christian belief. Now, this happened.
He's telling the population of Poland.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, wow.
This is serious. He says that basically that the nation's been involved in a nationwide debate over abortion when a Catholic doctor refused to perform the life-ending procedure on a patient even though the fetus had severe abnormalities. And so, you know, apparently there's some sort of justification that if a child is born, going to be born in a certain way, then obviously that in their mind, it's a legitimate reason to actually commit murder without, you know, saying, hey, listen, this is still life. You know, this is what God has allowed you to have. Mm-hmm. And so it's a huge deal going on over there. And what he continues to
That's
say,
huge.
This is, it's huge. I mean, it's really huge because the Christian Post is reporting this. They go on to say that basically he says he must disregard, regardless of what his conscience is telling him. This is what he's saying now. The Prime Minister of Poland, regardless of what his conscience is telling him, the doctor, he must carry out the law. This is a quote. And he says that every patient must be sure that the doctor will perform procedures in accordance with the law, in accordance with his duties. And it's like, wait a minute. No government has any right to trump God in your personal belief.
And
zero.
The huge thing that he's saying is that you will kill this child.
Oh, yeah.
You will sacrifice this child to Moloch.
That's right.
You know, that was the one God that God hated the most, the false God, which is no God at all, because they would sacrifice their children to this God. Probably another name for this God is greed, convenience. Self. Mm-hmm. You know, because, you know, why would we take somebody's life? And they're actually saying the law. And we got to get to that point where we don't use the law as an excuse to sin. We actually have to stand up. When the law is unjust, as Dr. King says, it's not a just law at all. It's not a law at all.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And murdering someone you know, in the womb, somebody's telling you, you're going to have to say, you cannot say, well, God, you know, I really didn't want to do this and kill these folks.
Right.
But, you know, it was the law.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to be good. Yeah. And that's actually the argument across the world right now.
Sure.
You know?
Sure. According to what they're reporting, that 3,000 doctors, 3,000 of them, which is, I didn't know this, but apparently Poland is known as a Catholic nation. They have signed the Declaration of Faith, vowing that their religious conscience will guide their professional life. Uh-huh. And how important would that be for believers to say that my personal relationship with the Lord is going to govern the decisions and the choices that I make in my life, whether that be profession or not? Uh-huh. And it seems like there's so many that will put their religion, their relationship with God aside when it comes to their business, when it comes to what can be said. Well, you know, where I work, you can't say those things. You can't bring up Jesus.
So. Which means you're putting God on the side. You're not putting your religion.
Exactly.
You're putting God. God doesn't. He doesn't say, okay, I'll step over here for a moment. It doesn't happen like that.
No, he doesn't. And so
that's good.
Well, I'm just saying, it's just important just to realize that, hey, you know, that may be happening in Poland, the killing of babies and putting God aside. But what are we doing here? What are you possibly doing to sacrifice your relationship with God and putting God away just for the sake of personal gain or not being persecuted and going along with the crowd?
And you think about it, you see people doing, they're trying to change the laws of the land. That's what they're trying to do. For years, this was illegal, that was illegal. It was biblically in alignment with what the Word of God said. But all of a sudden people said, well, we just need to change the law. If we change the law, then that changes God. And when it's legal, then you can just do it. Doesn't even matter anymore.
When we talk about Roe versus Wade, we tend to forget that up until 1973, up until
it was illegal.
It was illegal.
Right.
It's only been legal for a short amount of time. I mean, still long enough, but up until that point, it was absolutely illegal to kill and murder a child.
And the Texas, they just won this pro-life bill that just came through, where they were trying to say, if you are a pro-life doctor, and when I come in for an abortion, you have to put a sign outside. Let me know that when I'm coming in there, you're going to tell me about the ramifications of it. You have to warn me. Hmm. And so they try to make this law out there so that would keep people from saying, I don't want to be distracted from killing this child. And they lost it. The pro-life viewpoint won, and they don't have to do that. And it's like, you know, we need to stand. Some great things are happening.
Yeah.
But even if the law says you can do this, if God says you can't, that's the moral aspect of what we have to do with God. Just because it's legal doesn't mean it's moral, and just because it's moral doesn't mean it's legal. Sometimes they overlap, but we got to get back to find out, what is God's law? What does He expect from us? And understand this, that there's huge ramifications, eternal ramifications of not walking rightly before God, despite what anybody says.
Yeah.
Jesus said there'd be weeping and gnashing the teeth. He said, I never knew you. He said, if your hand offends you, your eye offends you, if your foot offends you, cut it out. Not to cut the baby out, cut your own, the things in your life out that allows you to be able to walk with God rightly.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.